much Rod. Great image, isn't it? Lots of perspective. And let me pray for us. Our Heavenly Father, we do ask that what we've just heard read will be written on our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we may be a church that brings honour and glory to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Who are we? On October 31st this year, it will be 70 years since the first service of St. Paul's Perry Hills took place. Canon DJ Knox, of whom I cannot find an image, that's as good as I can do, held this service in the Perry Hills Community Centre, just up there on Yulong. 14 years prior to that, on November 4th, 1940, Harris Young, there she is, I think, in 2004, initiated the ministry of the gospel in Perry Hills with a mission to children, an open-air Sunday school under a tree, not any of them out there, but at the home of Mr. and Mrs. Baker. Anyone know where Mr. and Mrs. Baker's place was? No. This land here was purchased, and the original church building, there it is, completed in 1965. Harris Young donated the same right to them. There is the interior in 75, that's what it looked like. And over the years, new structures were added, rectory land purchased and built, and all the while, faithful gospel ministry continued, very much in partnership with Christ Church St. Ives, as Perry Hills was a branch church of Christ Church since the 60s. If you are interested, you can read all about this in a short history that Lloyd Ross put together at our golden anniversary in 2004. I've placed a handful of copies on the info table in front of the sound desk. More recently, we cut our structural ties with Christchurch St. Ives, becoming a provisional parish in 2019 and our own independent parish in 2021. Nishka sent us a video message because it was July 2021 and we're in lockdown. He's planning to be here and all that, and then in the week leading up to, churches got shut down again. So all of this gives us a snapshot of who we are, where we have come from, the story so far, if you like, a very small snapshot. It also tells us something of our DNA as a church. The gospel, a mission to the Terry Hills community, a mission to children, the priority of children and youth, building structures that serve the growing ministry. This is what the church has done, and this is what we want to continue to do. We want to add to this story. Prior generations have served Christ and his gospel in this community, the church community and the wider community. They have built structures to serve this ministry over the last 60 years, and we want to do the same for generations to come. We want to build on the ministry of those who came before for the sake of the future of this church to the glory of God. In terms of gospel ministry, the ministry of word and prayer, this is what we are on about here is our mission. Our mission is to make and grow disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ to the glory of God. Our vision is to make and grow disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ to the glory of God. Our vision is to prayerfully make and grow disciples by engaging and evangelizing our not yet Christian family, friends and neighbors, and establishing and equipping every believer in God's word so that we grow to maturity in Christ, all to the glory of God. Now you can read more about our mission and vision in our 2025 church plan doc, which I've also put some copies on the info table. So what are we seeking to achieve in 2024? Well, I want our mission and vision, those four E's, to shape everything we do. Those four E's should be visible, they should permeate all of our key areas of ministry, our Sunday gatherings, our Bible study groups, our children's ministry, our youth ministry, our over 55s ministry. Our mission and vision shouldn't just be on paper, talked about once a year. Our ministry leaders should be thinking, are the four E's present in my ministry? Am I training those I lead in these four E's? Sundays certainly establish and equip us, but we also aim to engage and evangelize those we invite. Every Sunday is a good Sunday to invite someone to church, but we also have particular Sundays where we really focus on the guests, and we'll be doing that again throughout the year, and certainly in term one as we begin the year in John's Gospel. It's an opportunity for people to meet Jesus. Our Bible studies establish and equip. But there's also no reason why, together as small groups, we can't be praying for and inviting and socializing with each other's friends and family. In terms of children's ministry, we've just come out of Summer Thrills and we teach scripture at Terry Hills Public School, and we invite those children to Kids Club on a Friday afternoon, the first two E's, and we disciple and train here on a Sunday morning, E3 and 4. In terms of youth, we want to continue our efforts in establishing and equipping on a Sunday morning. This year, as you heard from David and Hannah, we will be combining our boys and girls together. And the group will be primarily led by David and Hannah, with the help of others when they're not able to lead. What we want to do is create a greater fellowship, a connection between the boys and the girls, with opportunities to serve together on Sunday mornings with ministries like Morning Tea, or perhaps at the front for some readings, or even leading in prayer and other things, music, as we're already starting to see. And we are praying that this growing connection will overflow into Friday night youth ministry and connecting with not yet Christian friends. In our over 55s ministry, I'm pleased to let you know that in 2024, Barry Dudding has agreed to take on a part-time honorary seniors minister role. As you know, Barry and Joe have already been very much serving in that capacity for a number of years. Apart from continuing such pastoral ministry, I'd love to see Barry pull together a quarterly daytime gathering of retirees, men and women together, enjoying fellowship over lunch or morning tea, with a Christian interest speaker, something that you can invite your friends and neighbours to, a ministry that engages and evangelises over 55s in our community. These are just some of the things in 2024. Our 2025 church plan has some objectives. One of those objectives is around Sundays, and that is to increase, we wrote this in 2022 or in the lead up to 2022, to increase to 100 adults and 50 children and youth being evangelized, established and equipped at church Sunday by Sunday. 150 is the capacity of this building. This number will force a decision between splitting the congregation into two or making some more changes to the building, a little bit of redevelopment. place to be able to increase the capacity. That is, if we want to keep welcoming new people, which I think we all do. This January, we've seen 90-plus adults consistently and 20 to 30 children. And if you were here at Christmas, Christmas Eve or Christmas Day at 9:30 a.m., you'll know that we were full and overflowing. Praise God. All glory to Him. We don't want to put up a church full sign. We want to be able to continue to invite and welcome guests and new members. We have a real problem. It's a good problem, but a real and pressing problem. As I talk with people, the consensus is that we do not want to split. And I agree. What we have as one all-age, all-stage congregation is precious and unique. That means the alternative, increasing capacity. And praise God, we have an opportunity to do that, to make some changes, some significant changes, to serve our church, not only now, but for the next 70 years. And beyond, to build upon the vision and effort of those who came before us, which serve us today. So this question, what are we seeking to achieve in 2024, is all well and good, but we know that it depends 100% on God. And so we pray. And it is good and healthy for us to remember what it is that God is seeking to do in us. It's probably fair to say that God is less likely to do anything through us unless He firstly does something in us. And what is it that God very briefly. Someone got a page number if they've shut the Bible and they'd like to return to it again. 1123. Thank you. Also on the screen. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So first and foremost, God wants us to know His mercy in Jesus Christ, to truly know it, to experience it, to be forgiven by God, justified, righteous in God's sight through the blood of His Son. At peace with God. That's what He wants for us, every single one of us. Second, He wants us to respond to His mercy by worshipping Him in the whole of our life, not just on a Sunday, in every aspect of life, putting God right at the center, knowing His will, which He reveals to us in His Word, but not just knowing it, doing His will in action. That includes, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, speaking the word of God and applying it, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. Make it out of your depth. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So what role can you play? When it comes to our mission and vision, you can serve the body with your God-given gifts. This is an important aspect of your worship of God. I know many of you do this, most of you in fact, if not all. You do it formally on rosters. You do it informally as you love and care for one another. If you would like to be more involved in this way, please just let me know. I would be only too happy to talk to you about how you might be able to serve the body here. We need all sorts of gifts and abilities. We need you. Every single one. One example. I would love someone with digital skills to give our service sheet and other communications and makeover. I don't have those skills. I'd love someone with those skills. Pointing in different directions. One for us. Love. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, be faithful in prayer, share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality. So mission and vision statements are one thing, goals and objectives are another. Plans, even good plans, big plans, property plans, must be motivated by an attribute, be dripping in sincere Christian love. For without love, it's just noise. We want to be zealous. We want to be fervent in our service of the Lord. We want to see His kingdom advance and His church grow. But we don't want to leave anyone behind. We don't want to do any damage along the way. On this, let me conclude by saying something about pastoral care and in particular how it works here at St. Paul's. Let me give you a brief biblical summary of what pastoral care is. God is the ultimate shepherd pastor who promises to lead people into eternity. Jesus is God's appointed shepherd pastor who gives his life to bring people into relationship with God. Shepherd pastors lead others by gospel-shaped teaching and modelling the application of God's word and grace in their lives. So the goal of pastoral care is under God to lead God's people by the word of God's grace into eternity with God. How do we do that here? Well, pastoral care takes place every Sunday as we hear the Word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus, read and taught. Our response includes conversation over morning tea, in which a great deal of pastoral care takes place. We share our lives together, we encourage one another, we support those who are in need, and respond when there is a crisis. This ministry often flows into the days, weeks, and months ahead. This is what Romans 12 is all about. Sometimes matters are serious enough that they be shared with me or other ministry leaders. When required, such matters are acted upon, often overseen by me. Most matters require the action of a few. Occasionally, the action of many is required. Therefore, the response needs to get organised. Prayer is another way in which we support one another. We pray for more serious matters from the front of church. We also have a prayer team that can pray for any matter that you wish to share. If you would like to join the prayer team or have a prayer request, let me know. also on the table. Something I put together. If you want to read in more detail, grab a copy. Not done yet though. Bible study groups are essential to how we do pastoral care. In these groups, we form deepening relationships in which we not only encourage one another in our Christian walk, but also care for one another and support one another in times of crisis or chronic struggles. Bible study groups can also respond together to provide practical support to those in need. If you aren't in a Bible study group, the first thing to say is join one. Join one in the new year, 2024. They're all about to start. Much of our pastoral care flows through our small groups. Please come and have a chat with me if you want to join one. But also, that said, we want to care for every member of our church family. If you aren't in a group and you need pastoral support, it's important that you communicate with me or other ministry leaders so that the support can be arranged. As our minister or pastor, I am responsible for the pastoral care of our church. However, that does not mean that I do all the pastoral care. As we've seen, every member of our church is active in pastoral care. And our Bible study leaders have a particular responsibility for pastoral care. Communication is key. If you need support or help, please let someone know. We do not want anyone to fall between the cracks. All of that is really to say, as a church, let's keep loving God because He first loved us in Christ. Let's love one another sincerely in the Romans 12 kind of way. And let's also keep growing in our love for the lost. We are being transformed into the likeness of Christ as a church, which the work God is doing. We will grow